This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Has the national political turmoil of the last 3 years left you breathless, but wanting to speak out? In the immediate aftermath of the 2016 election, a biblical scholar at Heber Union College, the Jewish Institute of Religion, wanted to make sure that no one would look back at this moment sometime in the future and remark, "There was silence." We are joined today by the woman behind the broad-based effort to organize 100 religious scholars to write to President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the members of Congress a letter every day for the first 100 days of their terms in office. These letters have now been edited and published in a book, which is entitled American Values, Religious Voices, by Rabbi Andrea Weiss, a biblical scholar at HUC-JIR, who is with us today. And joining her is the executive director of the American Jewish Archives on the Cincinnati campus of HUC, Dr. Gary Zola. To join our discussion, you can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
Rabbi Weiss, how did this project get started? I sort of, ran through that really quickly in the intro, but, what was in your head, your heart, in getting this started?
So the idea for the project came up in the days immediately following the 2016 presidential election. While I was walking my dog one day, which is when I have most of my good ideas, and like many people, I had experienced throughout the campaign and even in the days following the election, what I felt all of a sudden core American values that I had always taken for granted were called into question or overturned. It felt very destabilizing. And it occurred to me as a Bible scholar that many of those core American values are connected to our different religious traditions. So I had the idea that maybe we could get 100 scholars of religion who are steeped in and knowledgeable about our sacred text to write a letter a day to the president for the first 100 days of the Trump administration to reflect on some of those core American values that are connected in our religious tradition. So that was really the initial genesis of the idea.
And what sort of guidelines did you give the writers that you were eventually able to invite and identify? What did you ask them to do in terms of any one letter?
What we asked of people, and I had an advisory multi-faith advisory committee that got together, and we just started brainstorming a list of people. We started sending out invitations in early December after the election. And we asked people to think about what issues were of concern to them following the election, and what did their religious tradition, their sacred text, have to say about those issues. So we asked people to write a 350-word letter and to contain some kind of a textual basis for it, something that was connected to one of their religious texts or teachings from their religious tradition.
From the reader's point of view, I have to say, because you ask people to include texts from their tradition, this is an incredible key into just a multitude of traditions and insights that, most of us who are sort of locked into our own silos would never have heard. I mean, it's amazing because of those original texts that are quoted. I really like that's part of these letters.
Well, that for me was a great part of the project too. And for the 100 days while I was, or even before then, while I was starting to edit the letters, I had on a little table next to my desk at home, I had a stack of several different translations of the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, the Quran, all stacked up, which was sort of a visual reminder of what the project was all about. And one of the, as soon as the letters started appearing, we received a tremendous amount of feedback from folks. And one feedback that we received was someone who commented how she was loving hearing these daily inspirational voices and teachings from traditions that she didn't know about and voices that she wasn't accustomed to hearing. And I think that was turned out to be a really meaningful part of the project for a lot of people to learn a lot about different religious texts and traditions that they may never have actually read primary texts from.
It's, so yeah,
thank
it's really
you for that piece of feedback.
It's really amazing. Dr. Zola, in writing your book, We Called Him Rabbi Abraham, you found the power of letters written to a president, in this case, letters written by American Jews to President Lincoln. So there's a long tradition of this. This is not, oh boy, this is a new that people would write letters. Now, this was really concerted with scholars writing these in a consistent way, but that's still a long tradition, right?
Well, you know, you Dan know as well as anybody that this is the fascinating thing about the American American political system is how important religion has been. And it's so ironic because, of course, we're a nation that separates church and state, and yet all studies point out that the voices of religious leaders are so important to the political system. And then recent scholarship has shown that that's even more the case today than it was probably back in the days of Jefferson and so forth. And that's what I really love about this wonderful book that Dr. Weiss has written. And that the University of Cincinnati Press, right here in Cincinnati, right, has published, and it really is a clarion. It is just a wonderful exhibit of the importance of our religious traditions to the political system. And no matter, this book covers the whole gambit of religious perspectives. I think anyone from whatever political or religious perspective, wherever one may be coming, is going to enjoy this wonderful text.
Yeah, just to give people a sense of the variety here, the diversity here, Judaism, but not only the Torah, but also rabbinical literature, Roman Catholicism, Orthodox Christianity, mainstream Protestants, Baptists, Mormons, Quakers, Muslims, Sikh, Hindus, Buddhists, Chinese wisdom literature, Jain. All of this is in these 100 letters. And one of the interesting things, Rabbi Weiss, is that you say in the introduction that when you got started on this project, you didn't know many people outside of your own tradition. And that's you, yet in a very short time, you pulled together an amazing cross-section of people.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm a Hebrew Bible professor at the Hebrew Union College, so my professional world is pretty small, but I reached out to a number of colleagues and you know, all of whom reached out to other folks, and people were very eager. This was my sense when I first had the idea of the project, that people would welcome the chance to have their voice heard. Bible scholars and scholars of religion tend not to be on the forefront of the public conversation. And so for a lot of people, you know, it was a unique opportunity to really have their voice heard in a much more public way. And so people were eager to do it, and we reached out, really worked very hard, very fast to get a very diverse a diverse cadre of letter writers. So that really was important to us, to have a lot of different voices heard. There's one of the parts of the letter that you can see on the website and also in the book is where we compiled pictures of the 100 letter writers. And it's such a beautiful statement about what America looks like, and in all of its beautiful colors and diversity, and that is captured in the letters themselves and also in the traditions that are mentioned. And one feature of the book, which is the script, both at the back of the book, we have a scriptural index and also a subject index. So that's a great way to be able to look up and read letters by authors of different traditions and also put them in conversation with each other.
You know, one of the things, both you and Dr. Zola coming from a Jewish tradition, I was struck by this really had a sense of the prophetic, speaking to the people in power, the prophets standing for the people in a large sense and speaking to those in power. That's one of the things that really came through. And I wonder if...
Yes, I agree with you. That really has characterized the American political tradition. This does go back to the beginning. And when you thumb through this book, those who will have an opportunity, I hope many in the listening audience, to come and hear Dr. Weiss when she speaks next week here in Cincinnati.
Which is on the
22nd of January at the American Jewish Archives. There are little pearls of wisdom that have been lifted from the texts and that are set aside on each page of the book. So, for example, a scholar from Emory University, a Bible scholar, draws out this line: compromise is a powerful word, a mark of wisdom, not weakness. And then another biblical scholar from Princeton Theological says, loving God is inextricably linked to loving your neighbor. And these are just like gems that come up out of the texts, the longer letters that have been reproduced. Right. So this is why this is going to be at the American Jewish Archives, because it really is an American story about all of our religious traditions.
You know, it's not just the ancient text that are quoted. One of the lines on this prophetic side that really struck me was Jeremy Cruz quoted Langston Hughes, "America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be." I mean, it's pulling together recent prophets in this particular case, as well as ancient prophets and ancient people who spoke to power.
Dan, I feel a book like this is timely in any day and any age, but particularly today, in all that's been said and all that's happening around us, I think every citizen would benefit from having a look at this wonderful volume.
You know, one of the things, Rabbi Weiss, that is characteristic of the letters is they were responding to what was happening in Washington, D.C. at the time they wrote their letter over that 100-day period. So consequently, you get a tremendous amount on the question of immigration and the stranger. That really is, I think, in many ways, what you get more of than any place else, any other theme. And, you know, I think if these had gone on, you would have gotten other themes, even more themes as well. But what is it that you learned? Do you have a favorite on that question of immigration, welcoming the stranger, a letter that really touched you?
Well, just to put your question in a bigger context, and one of another feedback letter we received talked about the fact that the letters are not only inspirational, but a historical record of our time, and the fact that they do reflect the events that unfolded in those 100 days. And as we scheduled the letters, I scheduled them a week at a time, and in large part so that they could really be responsive to events as they were unfolding and as letter writers were responding to that. And you're right that one of the things that we do in the book is we made a tally of which of the themes, which of the values were most prominent. And one of the most is the care for the stranger and the care for the vulnerable, which is both because that is such a prominent theme in our religious traditions. And there are letters by Jewish, Christian, Muslim writers reflecting on that theme. And obviously it's in response to policies that were being enacted and to the rhetoric and ideas. And so a number of them are in response to the very frequent biblical injunction to not to oppress the stranger, but in fact to love the stranger as yourself. And one of my, I think one especially powerful letter about this theme comes from my colleague at the Hebrew Union College Institute of Religion in Los Angeles, Tamar Eskenazi, who writes about this command, you shall love the stranger as yourself. And she makes the observation that love in the Bible is about commitment, loyalty, and action rather than feelings.
Right.
To love others is to take responsibility for their well-being.
Yeah, there was two letters. I mean, there was many letters that struck me on this topic, but Amir Hussein, letter 46, day 46, he quotes the Jewish Torah, Matthew 25, and the Quran, all in the same letter. So even though he's coming from a Muslim tradition, he is quoting from many traditions, and that's because he's a scholar. And the other one that really struck me was letter 64, the 64th day, J.B. Hawes, who's Mormon, spoke about the welcoming of the stranger to Nauvoo, Illinois. And we all know that the Mormons were really persecuted. The fact that Nauvoo was open to everybody on a very conscious level, I didn't know that. I had not ever coped with that before. I thought that was really fascinating. So you're right, these little nuggets that just pop off the page to you.
I would add here at this point, just so we – one of the – you know, we're involved here in Cincinnati with the Festival of Faiths, which has become a brand new tradition here. And one of the wonderful things about that festival that occurred last year and will occur again this coming September of 2019 is that it goes beyond the Western religions. We want to remember that there are Eastern religions in our midst as well, and this book also includes them. My only real contribution to Dr. Weiss's works was I was asked to write a blurb on the back of it, and there I say, if you consider these letters as a bundle, they are an inspiring tableau of America's unique religious diversity, challenging our nation to be true to its moral compass.
Yes. Well, there's so many specifics. But let me ask Rabbi Weiss about what response did you get from these? There were 100 letters. They were sent to the president, to the vice president, to members of Congress, and in many cases to their staffs. Did you get any response?
We got one. So of all the letters were sent every day electronically to the president, the vice president, to members of Congress through their chiefs of staff and legislative directors. So that it was a MailChimp list that started out as 1,023 people, got down as people unsubscribed toward the end to about 700 people. But of all those letters, and I should also say that I individually mailed every day one to the president and the vice president, and we received response from one person, from the chief of staff for Republican Congressman Randy Holgren out of Illinois. And she wrote me early on in response to one of the letters, and it was really terrific. And I'm going to talk more about that exchange when I'm at the American Jewish Archives on the 22nd. And that was the one response. So on the one hand, and she wrote back and she said to us after I sent her response to the letter to the author, they wrote back and she wrote to me at the time. She said, keep the letters coming. They give us a sense of the America that we want to be. And it was very encouraging. So even though it was only one, I did know at least someone in Washington was reading the letters. But more important than that, that was always our explicit audience. But we knew that the letters were going to a far larger implicit audience. And that was all the people who were experiencing the first 100 days of the Trump administration as those days unfolded and who would receive the letters. They appeared every day at 5 a.m. So for a lot of people, this was the first thing they read in the morning for those 100 days. And just the kind of response that we got was so encouraging from people who felt like they read the letter every day like a prayer, that it was an anchor for people. We heard from a number of people how it made them feel like they weren't alone, that there were other people that were, you know, have shared values with them. So that really kept us going throughout the 100 days to know that how meaningful the letters were to a lot of other people, even though we weren't getting the feedback we would have liked to have gotten from our leaders in Washington.
I want to put out, make sure to note that the letters are accessible online at valuesandvoices.com, valuesandvoices.com. The name of the book is American Values, Religious Voices. But there is this website as well that people can catch up with them and use them today. I mean, they.
Yep.
So where do you go from here? What is the is there an ongoing project here? Is there something that needs to be built on all this work?
What we hope will happen, so first we had the 100-day campaign a year later, and then we kept active. We're on Twitter and on Facebook, and so we kept active since the end of the campaign in the last year and a half. So, you know, I feel a tremendous sense of responsibility as the custodian of the letters and also all of the artwork that was produced in the course of the campaign. And so I've continued to use the letters, quotes from the letters on Twitter, on Facebook, in response to unfolding events. We also, a year later, we published for every day, we tweeted a quote a day, what we called the Values and Voices Presidential Primer. And then now we have the book. So we hope that the book, people will use the letters, both will read the letters, will share them. I was just speaking with a group, with a rabbi who's using the letters as part of an interfaith group. And we hope that the letters, I've been part of a number of interfaith panels where we've gotten people together to be in dialogue about these values that are important to us and how we can make sure that we're all working together to preserve our core American values.
Dr. Zola, did the letters that Abraham Lincoln received from so many different people, did they touch him? Is there evidence that maybe he didn't respond to everyone, but they touched him?
Yes, I think there is evidence. You know, what pops into my mind when you ask me that question is, you know, when he immediately rescinds General Grant's order banishing all the Jews from the military department of Tennessee because Grant has uniformly lumped every Jew in that military department into the category of being a profiteer, and he banishes them. The only time in American history ever that Jews were banished from American territory, and Lincoln immediately revokes it. And Isaac Mayer Wise of Cincinnati goes to see him. He initially was going for the purpose of talking him into revoking it, but by the time he gets there, it's already been revoked. And he has this discussion with Lincoln, and he reports back to Lincoln that Lincoln says, only I hate, he says, when the whole group is besmirched by one.
Rabbi Andrea Wise and Gary Zola, thank you for being here today. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU.org.